as she replied. If I can, General. I'll call if I can. The audio link went dead. For a long moment, Harry heard nothing but the rumble of Able One's engines and the clatter of the plane's buffeting. He realized he had become almost accustomed to the shuddering vibrations. You know him? He asked Colonel Christopher. She gave him a curious, half-sad smile.
I knew him.
Knew?
Too well, she said. Not well enough.
Harry felt puzzled, but decided the colonel's personal life was not a place he should be poking into. She sat wearily beside him.
Are you married, Mr. Hartounian?
I was. We're separated.
Going to get divorced?
Suddenly miserable all over again, Harry waved both hands in the air.
I don't know.
My wife wants a divorce, but we've got two daughters. I don't know what it'd do to them.
Do you still love her?
Harry thought he should feel uncomfortable talking about his private life with a woman who was practically a stranger to him. Instead, he heard himself admit, I thought I did at first, but I don't know if we ever really loved each other. Not like in a romance story. We were just kids when we got married.
And now?
He shrugged. Now it's all over, I guess. Has been for years. I was just too dumb to recognize it.
Karen patted his knee. Welcome to the club, mister.
Welcome to the goddamned club. He saw that her eyes were sad, and really beautiful. Light gray, almost bluish. Before he could say anything, though, Colonel Christopher straightened up in the seat and said, Now, how do we go about finding which one of your people tried to screw up this flight?
San Francisco, the Cow Palace. I had a speech prepared for you, said the president into the microphones on the dais before him, but events have moved so swiftly that I'm going to toss that speech away and speak to you from my heart.
The spotlights were glaring brilliantly on the president. The crowd filling the auditorium was in darkness, but he could sense them out there in the shadows, feel their presence, hear their breathing like one gigantic, expectant animal.
So tonight we'll forget about the teleprompters and the speech my staff worked so hard to prepare. Tonight I want to tell you about an extraordinary series of events, and about the brave and gallant crew of Air Force and civilian personnel.
He could feel them leaning forward, holding their breaths, hanging on his words.
You know the old joke, I have good news and bad news.
A few laughs scattered through the darkness.
I'll give you the bad news first, the president said, smiling broadly to reassure his audience. As you know, his smile dwindled, just about all the civilian satellites in orbit were knocked out this morning. It's been a tough day, without satellite phone links, without satellite relays for information systems and commercial television. Why, this speech right here and now isn't being transmitted any farther than Sacramento, or so I'm told. A few more nervous titters out there in the darkness.
Good, thought the president.
And things are going to be tough for a while. It will take weeks, maybe months, or even a year or more before we get full satellite services going again. What caused this enormous breakdown? A nuclear bomb exploded in orbit by a dissident element of the North Korean army.
That got them. The audience gave a collective gasp. Rumbles and murmurs swept the shadowed rows of onlookers.
I say again, the president raised a slim finger, that the bomb was set off in orbit by a dissident group of the